My wife and I were able to get away and do some camping. One of the things we like to do is find new trailheads. And we find a trailhead and we go, I wonder where this will lead us. We don't really always know. We kind of have a map. We kind of don't. And we get on the trailhead. And as some of you know, when you start climbing, it's kind of, oh, this is pretty easy going. This is pretty nice, you know, kind of calm little path, nice trees, you know, little stream. And then somewhere along the trailhead, you hit what's called a switchback. And then the switchback starts to climb back and forth, and you feel like you're going nowhere, and your climbing is getting harder and steeper. And somewhere in that conversation with my lovely wife, she'll say, maybe we should turn around. This is not working really well. Or, you know, have we got there yet? Or are we there yet? And I have to admit, there's been a few of those hard climbs we've had in the last couple of years where we did not reach the destination. We turned back. It wasn't worth it to us. I know in this room there are many of you that are facing suffering or trials, and maybe you're in that little switchback moments of your life where you feel like you're climbing but you're not getting anywhere, and you're wondering what the destination even looks like. You know, suffering has many faces. In this room, there are some that are facing sickness or death, divorce, unemployment, prison, bankruptcy, aloneness, persecution, chronic pain, loss, wayward child, care of others, troubles brought on by wrong choices, and also troubles due to the wrong choices of others. And you know that the very simplistic phrase, you've heard it many times, in those moments of trial, you have a choice of becoming bitter or better, do you not? Okay? So often, even as Christ followers, we can fall into wrong thinking. We can think, maybe God's punishing me, or maybe God even enjoys my pain. Maybe God is callous, and why isn't he responding to my prayers? Or maybe God is just too busy for my stuff. And I believe that Satan wants to plant those thoughts into our life so that we do not have fearless faith. So this morning, when we have fearless faith in the face of suffering, what's happening is we are trusting a certain kind of God. Did you know that you can have different definitions of God? True definitions and false definitions. And I believe the key to having fearless faith or courage in suffering is to have the right concepts of God. And when you know who God really is, then you'll have the courage to face what you are facing. Now, the first thing we notice about God in this passage we've read is that God is a comforting God. God is a comforting God. It says that he's the God of all comfort. So we know that's a description of who God is. Now, as soon as I see that word, we can fall into some wrong thinking. When I see the word comfort, I'm thinking, you know, of that comforter or the teddy bear, or maybe when we were camping and there's a picture here of me camping recently. There I am. And we bought one of those gravity chairs. Those are pretty cool. They kind of just float back. And then we had a campsite one time with cable, so I was able to watch the Mariners lose again. It was really fun. So we set it up outside of our tent and got into my gravity chair, got my iced tea. And to me, some of you are thinking of that picture when you think of comfort. You think of comfortable. You think of the absence of pain or the absence of problems. Maybe you're thinking of an easy chair life or a hammock type of life. When God is the God of all comfort, what does it really mean? Well, it says in verse 3, he's the God of all comfort. And so I want some of that. I don't know if you feel the same way, but when I'm going through hard stuff and I hear that God is the God of all comfort, I say, yes, give it to me. I need that. So what does it look like? Well, he also tells us that he's the Father of mercies. The word mercy has the idea of compassion for the hurting. So God cares. That's a big part of this word. James 5:11 says, "You have heard of the steadfastness of Job," that's that courage and suffering, "and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." So one of the things that Job hung on to was that God was a God of compassion and he was a God of mercy. Psalms 24:6, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." So God has this consistent character about him where he is always a God of love. He's always a God of compassion. He's always a God that cares. He's a God of comfort. Now, what does the biblical word comfort mean? It means advocate. It means a paraclete, a defense attorney. It means a helper. I love what we talked about a few years ago where we talked a whole series on comfort. And we learned that in the Latin, our English word, comfort, comes from a Latin word, confortus, and it means brave together. I love that definition. When God is the God of all comfort, it means we can do this together. It means to come alongside of, to help, to strengthen, to encourage, to support. So when God says, I'm gonna comfort you, what he's really saying to us is I'm gonna go through this with you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He lives within every Christ follower. Jesus Christ is called the Comforter, 1 John 2:1. He's the defense attorney. He comes alongside of us to help us. If you have lost track of who God is, the Bible is full of descriptions of God where he is a God of love and comfort. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, "Who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace." Isn't that great? I love the word eternal connected to the word comfort. Not just hit and miss, coming and going, but always there. And a good hope. I like that. You can have a bad hope. You know, man, the Mariners, what happened to you yesterday? That's bad hope. Good hope is when you find Christ and his consistent grace in your life. Philippians 2:1, "Any comfort from love." 2 Corinthians 7:6, "But God who comforts the downcast, who comforted us by the coming of Titus." Isaiah 66, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." Like a mother in that teddy bear comforter moment that is encouraging and comforting the child that is afraid. That's how God wants us to come into our lives. And then I read to the children, Psalms 23:4, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In other words, there's a strength about the comforting. There's a strength that we can have confidence that God is going to comfort us. And one of the things that he does to comfort us is to know that he is stronger than anything we're facing. Then in Psalm 119 says, "Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant." So the promise of God is something that comforts me. And it's just surrounded by his steadfast love. Did you hear the word "all" in front of the word "comfort"? That God is the God of all comfort. What does that mean? That all I could possibly need in every situation is found in him. That all that, not just, when I think of comfort with the children, I think, well, maybe it was a blanket, maybe it was a teddy bear, could get a little comfort, maybe it's a mom giving a hug, you know, maybe it's a story at night, maybe it's a prayer at night, and there's all kinds of things that might help a child feel better. With God, he is the God of all comfort. So he's not just one of the pieces that will bring you comfort. He is the totality of comfort for your life. It could be people. It could be circumstances. But God will be the source of every possible comfort that you will ever need. Maybe you're thinking this morning, "Pastor Phil, you don't understand what I'm going through. And I have not seen God's comfort in my life. In fact, God seems far away." So I came across this poem here I'd like to read to you. God said, "If you never felt pain, then how would you know that I'm a healer? If you never went through difficulties, how would you know that I'm a deliverer? If you never had a trial, how could you call yourself an overcomer? If you never felt sadness, how would you know that I'm a comforter? If you never made a mistake, how would you know that I'm forgiving? If you knew it all, how would you know that I will answer your questions? If you never were in trouble, how would you know that I will come to your rescue? If you never were broken, then how would you know that I could make you whole? If you never had a problem, how would you know that I could solve them? If you never had any suffering, then how would you know what Jesus went through? If you never went through the fire, then how would you become pure? If I gave you all things, how would you appreciate them? If I never corrected you, how would you know that I love you? If you had all power, then how would you learn to depend on me? If your life was perfect, then what would you need me for? And so God says, I'm a God of comfort. I'm the God of all comfort. And maybe there's a diversity in this room of brokenness or pain or sadness or sorrow or going without. And I understand all that. But God is the God of all comfort. That means that whatever you're going through, the diversity of what this world can throw at us, God's still the answer no matter what it is. And so God is a comforting God. And when we have confidence in this truth of who God is, it gives me courage. Because I know that God is not going to abandon me. And he's going to walk through this with me. And we can be brave together. The second thing I need to know about God is he is a responsive God. The Bible reveals to us that he responds to the people he created. Now, sometimes we might think that God is far away. He's distant. David said in Psalm 10, verse 1, why do you stand far away? In other words, God, I'm right here and I need some help. Where are you? Have you ever felt that in your life? Or maybe at times God seems to not care. Matthew 27, 46, Jesus on the cross said, why have you forsaken me? Which is basically, I feel forsaken and I don't understand why. In his humanity, there was a struggle there on the cross. And maybe you have felt that, that God is distant or God doesn't care. So then I go back to God's word, which is the answer to the questions we have. And it says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction. Now, the word comfort there is present tense in the original language, which means continuous action. So he's saying something to us about God, that God continuously comforts us in all our affliction. So here's the truth about God. It's an action word here. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a knowledge thing about God. But there's action to this verb. Here's the truth. He responds. By his very nature, he is a comforting God. By his promises to his people, he comforts. It's not just a theological idea, it's an action. Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Also found in Deuteronomy 31, 6. I mean, that's a statement that I have so often gone to, praying with Mario this last Tuesday in his last hours on this earth before he passed away. What could I pray? Lord Jesus, thank you as I sit by this bedside. You have promised you will never leave us or forsake us. And I know that you are right in this bedroom with us, right here. Deuteronomy 31, 8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. You see how the contrast between being afraid and knowing that God is with you? Isaiah 41, 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 34, 18, the Lord, this is one of my favorite verses. I got lots of them, but this is one of them. Psalms 34, 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. How often does the world crush us? Circumstances crush us. People crush us. But the Lord comes close to the brokenhearted. When it says here that he comforts all who are in affliction, what does the word affliction mean? Well, the word affliction means pressure. It means stress, trials, persecution, pain, grief. 9 times it's found in 2 Corinthians. It means trouble. It means hardships. You haven't seen the troubles I've seen. This is affliction. This is somebody against you. This is somebody or something or some circumstance that is causing trouble in your life. In all our affliction, God responds. There isn't one thing you're going through this morning where God shrugs his shoulders and said, seeing that, no big deal, I'll come back to you later. Every single time, every single situation, 2 Corinthians 4, this is what Paul says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed. How often have we felt those feelings that Paul describes? And then he says in verse 16 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. There's a miracle that can happen in a Christ follower's life, that everything around you can be falling apart, including your body. But in your heart, in your spirit, a relationship with God, there is strength that it cannot be described. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh my goodness, God, I don't understand this verse. I thought if I accepted Jesus, I wouldn't have any problems. But then it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I don't understand. I thought if I signed up for this thing called Christianity, that I would escape all these problems. But that's not the truth, is it? But this is the truth. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Isn't that great? Psalms 34:6, the poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Isn't that great? God loves to deliver his people and deliver us through the troubles. You might have heard this poem by Annie Johnson Flint. When you pass through the waters, deep the waves may be and cold. But Jehovah is our refuge and his promises are hold. For the Lord himself has said it, he the faithful God and true. When you come to the waters, you will not go down but through. Seas of sorrow, seas of trial, bitter anguish, fiercest pain, rolling surges of temptation, sweeping over heart and brain. They will never overflow us, for we know his word is true. All his waves and all of his billows, he will lead us safely through. Threatening breakers of destruction, doubt's insidious undertow, will not sink us, will not drag us out to ocean depths of woe, for his promise will sustain us. Praise the Lord, whose word is true. We will not go down or under, for he says, you will pass through. The afflictions come, but God gives us the promise. Did you know that God is in your corner? Can I say it like this? God never abandons his children. God has a way of responding in time of need. Sometimes he's responding with truth that we need to hear. Sometimes he responds with people that need to come alongside of us. Sometimes it's with a scripture verse. Sometimes by his Holy Spirit, he just brings encouragement. Sometimes I've prayed, Lord, I need some encouragement today. And God always brings someone or some situation that lifts my spirits. One of the cool stories that happened at Men's Getaway this last year. Rich Ward was teaching, and he was driving through Kennewick here one day, and he looked at a stoplight at the car next to him. Maybe you've done that a few times. What's going on over there? And, you know, whatever. And he saw this driver, this dad, and he didn't see anybody else in the car, but this dad, all of a sudden, in the middle of the signal, they were sitting there waiting, started cheering and clapping and celebrating. And he thought, wow, man, it's not, the Mariners aren't playing. The Seahawks aren't on. What's going on here on the radio? It was really kind of weird. It was like really over the top. A little bit later in the day, he just so happened to run into the guy. They were at the same store. And if you know Rich Ward, he's not very shy. And he just walked up to the man. He said, you know, I saw you at the signal and you were celebrating. What's up with all the cheering? And the dad said to Rich, well, my son was in the back seat, and he has Down syndrome. At that moment, he had just learned to tie his shoes for the very first time. Some of us need to get a picture of God. Maybe it's a brand new picture for you. That God is with you. He's not against you. He's for you. And when you are struggling and when you are taking those baby steps of faith, he's there cheering you on. God is a God who is a responding God. Number three, this is very important. He is a purposeful God. When we go through sorrow, troubles, or suffering, you know the question that is so often asked, and that is why? Verse 4 says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So there's a purpose about what God is allowing in your life. Please don't try to write all this down. We can send it to you if you want to contact the office. We can put it on email. But here's the 10 purposes that I have found in God's Word. There's probably more, so don't try to tell me there was some I missed. These are the 10 I wanted to focus on, okay? 10 purposes of God in affliction. Number one is to test our faith, okay? We say with our mouth that we are believing, and God says, okay, let's test that out. Number two, to discipline us. Sometime to correct us, to get us on the right path, he'll bring things into our life. Number three, to bring greater glory to God. Sometimes it just is going to be a moment where you trust God and everybody will see that God was there for you, and it's a glory moment for God. And God allows those things for his glory. Number four, to build character. So we need to take some new experiences of faith and new steps of faith, and it's going to build something in our life. Maybe there's something lacking in my walk with Christ, and God's going to allow something in my life. He's going to allow some people in my life. He's going to allow some circumstances in my life so that I will have a new area of strength, a new area of character. I will learn grace. I will learn mercy. I will learn gentleness. I will learn patience. God's trying to do something good in my life, and it's to build character. Number five, to focus on heaven. Sometimes there's no explanation earthly except, man, I just can't wait to get to heaven. And God loves to put that aroma of heaven into our hearts. Did you know that? Like when you walk by your neighbor's house and they're having a barbecue. Man, that smells like prime rib. Man, I've got to check this out. I think I should have an evangelism moment with my neighbor, you know? Right? And there's an aroma that draws us. Did you know that sufferings is an aroma that can draw me to being closer to the taste of heaven? You see, if this world was all that it cracks up to be, we wouldn't care about heaven. And so sometimes he allows things to get our focus back on heaven. Number six, to obey God no matter what. You know, the Abraham moment, offering his son Isaac up. It doesn't make any sense, but are you willing to obey me no matter what? Number seven, to increase our love for him. David drew closer to his Lord and Savior the more he went through trials. Number eight, to help us comfort others as we're talking about this today. Number nine, to bring more people to Christ. Sometimes the things that we can go through gives us a platform to share. Some of you have a story to share. Number 10, to be understood only in heaven. I have to admit, there are some situations there. I have none of the other nine make any sense. It's like, really? Why did this happen, God? And I just have to tell you, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And I have to hold on to that sometimes. You know what, God, when I get up to heaven, I know this, that you love me, and finally when I get up to heaven, my eyes will be open, and I'll see, oh, that's what was happening. And so those are the 10 reasons, purposes of God at work in the midst of affliction. Now, let's come back to some purposeful statements about who God is. I want to clarify to you. God is committed to you. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you, he will complete it. Number two, he will always love us. Never, never can anything separate you from the love of Christ. He's always ready to transform everything to something good. Now, by the way, not everything that happens to you is good. But he's able to transform everything into something good. Romans 8:28. I love this quote. We are products of our past, but we don't have to be prisoners of it. Amen. Yes, there are things that have happened to us. But have you allowed God to recycle you? I love David Seaman's quote. God's grace recycles our garbage into instruments for his service. Isn't that great? God is a recycling God. Did you know that? You know, I heard an announcement, you know, advertisement. They were so proud of themselves. We are now recycling batteries. We now can make a brand new battery out of 2% old batteries. I go, 2%? That's not much. So what you're telling me is you're throwing away 98% of the battery? And you want us to be proud of you for recycling? Really? Can't you do better than that? I want to tell you, God does better than that. He takes 100% of your junk and your garbage, and he recycles into a 100% new person. Isn't that great? You might also write this down. God never wastes our pain. He never wastes our pain. So one of the purposes that maybe God has allowed us to go through something is that he wants us to comfort others. That's what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So how do we comfort other people? Well, first of all, with just being there. Did you know you can comfort somebody by just being there? Isn't that great? You know, yesterday at Jan Klingensmith's funeral, you know, Jan has been going through Alzheimer's for the last 10 years, and one thing that was mentioned is he just said, thank you for the friends and neighbor and family that was just came and sat there to be with her. You can comfort others with words, 1 Thessalonians 4. You can comfort others by sharing the word of God with them. My prayer today is that I could bring you comfort, not by my words, but by the word of God. With acts of service, when you do something for someone else, it makes a difference. With prayer, it said that in 2 Corinthians 1, you also must help us by prayer. Paul's going through this long list of problems he went through, and he said, by the way, you can help me by praying for me. And you can pray with somebody, and you're going to bring encouragement to them. And then number 6, with sharing your story. You have a story to share. Maybe you're embarrassed of your story. Maybe you don't want anybody to know. But you are robbing the people around you of a moment of connection. When you share with humility your struggle, Celebrate Recovery has learned this. When you stand up and say, my name is Phil and I'm struggling with whatever it is, everybody in the audience goes, I can relate to that person. Because I thought I was all alone. And you can give great encouragement by sharing your story. British medical doctor worked in Africa. Her name is Helen Rosevere. Long time ago, back in the 60s. Some of you were there. Yeah, you understand. And in Africa, she was facing brutal beatings. A medical missionary doctor, but they did not want her there. And so she was persecuted heavily. And she called out to God, God, I've given my life to you. What's this all about? Why are you letting me suffer? Maybe you've asked God that. This is what she heard back from the Lord. These are not your sufferings. They are my sufferings. All I ask of you is the loan of your body. Isn't that a great thought? You surrender your body to a living sacrifice, and if now it belongs to Jesus. And if God is wanting that to happen to his body, then that's his choice. Then she shared this revelation of spiritual growth. She said, he didn't stop the sufferings. He didn't stop the wickedness, the cruelties, the humiliation, or anything. It was all there. The pain was just as bad. The fear was just as bad. But it was altogether different. It was in Jesus, for him, and with him. You see, the circumstances, I cannot promise you this morning, will change when you leave this room that you're facing. But I can promise you that if you trust in a God who's a comforting God, a responsive God, and a purposeful God, that he can transform the situation. One of my favorite authors is Martha Snell Nicholson. She had tuberculosis in those days where they didn't really know how to treat it. She was in bed for 7 years. She had spinal arthritis as well. She had a nervous breakdown. She went from 5'6" to 4'9". She weighed 80 pounds. She had to carry on her body a heavy steel brace to have herself have any strength at all. She spent 20 years of her life in bed. And in that time, she wrote poems. This is the one she wrote that means the most to me. I stood a mendicant of God before his royal throne and begging him for one priceless gift for me to call my own. I took the gift from out of his hand, but as I would depart, I cried, "But Lord, this is a thorn, and it's pierced my heart. This is a strange and hurtful gift which thou hast given me." He said, "I love to give good gifts. I gave my best to thee. I took it home, and though at first the cruel thorn hurt sore, as long years passed, I grew at last to love it more and more. I learned he never gives a thorn without this added grace. He takes the thorn to pin aside the veil which hides his face." Some of you are holding a thorn right now, and you're going, "Why in the world has God allowed this?" And so I want to conclude by praying a prayer. Dear Lord, please grant that I shall never waste my pain, for to fail without learning and to fall without getting up, and to sin without overcoming, and to be hurt without forgiving, and to be discontent without improving, to be crushed without becoming more caring, and to suffer without growing more sensitive, makes of suffering a senseless, futile exercise, a tragic loss, and of pain the greatest waste of all. Lord God, help us right now to trust you, a comforting God, a responsive God, and a purposeful God. Thank you.